This message comes from NPR sponsor Hulu. Don't miss the new docuseries, Black Twitter, A People's History. From memes to movements, see how this powerful online community shapes culture and society. Black Twitter, A People's History is now streaming on Hulu.
The underdog sports comedy Next Goal Wins is based on the true story of American Samoa's soccer team and its attempts to improve on its status as a worldwide laughingstock.
The film is from Taika Waititi and stars Michael Fassbender as the real-life coach tasked with helping the team compete in a World Cup qualifying match. I'm Linda Holmes.
And I'm Stephen Thompson. Today we are talking about Next Goal Wins on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Hulu. Don't miss the new docuseries, Black Twitter, A People's History, from Onyx Collective and Hulu. Directed by Prentice Penny, executive producer of Insecure, Black Twitter, A People's History, tells the story of how black voices found a new home online and blossomed into a force for change while laying down some hilarious tweets along the way. From the memes to the movements, see how this powerful community shapes culture, society, and politics. Black Twitter, A People's History, is now streaming on Hulu. Support for NPR and the following message come from FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming only on Hulu. This message comes from NPR sponsor Hulu. Dive into the chilling new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, the riveting adaptation of the acclaimed true crime book. Based on shocking true events, Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. Go deep into the hidden world of the town's tormented teenagers as detectives race to solve the sinister crime. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays, only on Hulu.
When voters talk during an election season, we listen. We ask questions, we follow up, and we bring you along to hear what we learned. Get closer to the issues, the people, and your vote at the NPR Elections Hub. Visit npr.org/elections.
Joining us today is one of the hosts of NPR's Code Switch podcast, Gene Demby. Hey, Gene.
What's good, Joe? I'm so glad to be here.
Hey, Gene.
It is so great to have you. So Next Goal Wins is based on the real-life exploits of American Samoa's soccer team, which experienced embarrassment on a global scale when it lost a match to Australia by the score of 31-0 back in 2001. 10 years later, as the World Cup qualifiers approached, American Samoa looked to improve its lot by hiring a down-on-his-luck Dutch-American coach named Thomas Rongen. He's played by Michael Fassbender. What follows will be familiar to anyone who's seen the 2014 documentary, also called Next Goal Wins, which documents Rongen's attempts to turn the team around. But the new film will also be familiar to anyone who has ever seen an underdog sports movie, be it Cool Runnings, The Mighty Ducks, or The Bad News Bears. You take a wacky team of misfits, an exasperated coach with no other options, and a whole lot of training montages, you know the drill. Next Goal Wins also stars Kamana as Jaya, who is Fafafine, an American Samoan term referring to gender fluidity. The real-life Jaya became the first openly transgender player to compete in a World Cup qualifying match. The film was directed and co-written by Taika Waititi and is in theaters on Friday. Linda, I'm going to start with you. What did you think of Next Goal Wins?
I really liked this movie. I think, as you said, if you have seen an underdog sports movie, you're going to see just about every beat coming at some level. I think they've freely fictionalized enough elements to make it fit even better into the narrative that they're looking for. But the underdog sports comedy is one of the genres that has kind of really faltered as they've stopped making kind of mid-sized movies. And so to me, it's, look, this is not an earth-shattering movie. It is, I would dare to say, inessential in some ways, but I enjoyed it thoroughly, and it is the kind of movie that I always want to be available to people, and I want, you know, this is a story I've heard before. I just want to hear it again and again and again.
How about you, Gene?
So just to give you context of what I was going through when I sat down to watch this movie the other day, my soccer team, Tottenham Hotspur, lost an absolutely chaotic game. Like it was almost like a Ted Lasso script. There were two red cards. A bunch of our players got injuries that will keep them out probably for weeks, if not months. So I needed like a palate cleanser when I sat down to watch this movie. And that's what I got. It was really dope. It was a lot of fun. It's very broad and sitcom-y, but, you know, a lot of the jokes actually land. The performances were really winning. Speaking of Ted Lasso, I wish that we had more time with some of those characters. Like, you almost wish this was a sort of serialized thing. But it was a lot of fun. It was, and like Linda said, it also was like a trifle. I definitely was like, okay, it was a nice, fun, pleasant. I'm not mad at all.
Yeah, I had a pretty similar reaction to this film. And for my context, I did not have to root for Tottenham Hotspur. But I have had the experience of coaching a team of wacky, lovable, misfit losers.
You're not talking about the PCSH team, are you?
Oh, my God. Our team would be even worse. Okay. But I was coach of the Onions softball team back in the late 90s and early aughts. And we once had a two-game stretch where we were outscored by a total of 72-0 in two softball games, each with a one-hour time limit.
Surprised that was enough time for them to run around the bases that many times.
I know. It was as hapless as the score made it sound. And the following week, after that two-game stretch, we lost a game 9-1. And scoring that one run was like winning 10 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of sports stakes that I can get behind. And I love not just a loser, but like a spectacular loser, a record-setting loser, the worst team in the entire world. And the attempt to go from worst team in the entire world to maybe the second or third worst team in the entire world?
The qualifiers are only 4 weeks away, Mr. Rongan. All I want from our team is just one goal. One goal.
I appreciate the very, very modest stakes of this film, and I appreciate the modest stakes of this film in the context of Taika Waititi's career also, because one of the things that kind of bugged me about Jojo Rabbit was he was taking that kind of slightly whimsical kind of storytelling style and applying it to a story about the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. And this is taking that whimsical storytelling style and applying it to a knockabout underdog sports comedy. And that, to me, is the right sense of scale, the right sense of stakes. And I had a ton of fun. It was mildly diverting. Will I remember it after we finish this conversation? Not necessarily. but I got a kick out of it.
The other thing I like about it is, I think when you say, Stephen, that it has appropriately sized stakes, one thing that I always think is important in sports fiction is to remember that the vast majority of sports people, the stakes in their life are not, am I going to be the best in the world or not? Their goal is to be better than they were yesterday, better than they were last time. So there's a real charm to me. You know, I had the same feeling as you, Stephen. You know that they're not really going for, are these guys going to become world champions? Or even really, are they going to qualify for the World Cup? You get the feeling that the ultimate stakes are, can they win a game? And I appreciated that. And I also did think, like, you know, the interesting thing about this Michael Fassbender performance is that there are times when I feel like he's having a little trouble getting his arms around exactly who this guy is.
None of this makes any sense. You don't even have a full squad of players out there. No wonder you're the worst team in the world.
At the very beginning, somebody makes a comment to him about, you should take this job and go to American Samoa to heal. And so, you know, something has happened. But for a while, to me, it was a little hard to get a sense of who this guy was. There's a sense that he drinks too much. There's a sense that, you know, he's separated from his wife. And it's a little vague on that. But I think as they go on, they do a good job, particularly with the relationship between him and Jaya. I was invested in that relationship and in his understanding that she was very, very talented and that she was a leader on the team and that the guys on the team didn't see her the way that he kind of assumed that they would. It's just so warm. The other performances, the guy who's like the head of the soccer federation, I think that's a really funny and entertaining performance.
Yeah, it was just him. But the fact that he responded, absolutely incredible. I really think things are going to turn around, you know, son. It's like in The Matrix. I think this man is the Neo.
That is Oscar Kylie, who is very, very funny in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I think he's very funny. And I think there's also, you know, something to be said for the story of how this team losing by 31 goals, how it affected them. You know, that's real people when that happens. You know, those are real people who have to get up and keep living their lives. And, you know, there's a lot of reflecting on sort of what that did to interest in soccer in their community and what it did to their reputations. And I was kind of invested in all that. I liked it.
The head of the federation, he keeps saying, I just need one goal, right? Michael Fassbender's like, I can't do anything with the team. He's just like, one goal. That's all I need, one goal, right? Like, the stakes are both really low, to Steven's point, and also like sufficiently daunting. One goal. They've never scored a goal in their entire history. In American soccer, there's this guy, Matt Turner. And in college, there was this clip of him famously letting in the dumbest goal you've ever seen in your life. Like, the ball flies a million feet into the air. He tries to catch it, and it just bounces in behind him. And he just, like, collapses to the ground, you know, mortified. And he became a laughingstock. And now, you know, he's, like, a professional soccer player. And he was, like, I was really demoralized to have my lowest, like, one of the most embarrassing things that ever happened to me happen in front of the entire, you know, sports-watching world, right? And so, you know, there's a whole subplot about the keeper who was in the goal for that 31-0 drubbing. It's like this thing that like haunts him all the time, right? That's how it would be if the lowest moment of your sporting life became this like moment of international mockery. Yeah, you would carry that around for a long time.
Yeah, but it's interesting to think, I think, from a character perspective. And I think this is one of the things that this movie, in its own kind of light way, gets at is like, what does it take to be the kind of person who will go out there representing your country in a situation where everybody expects you to lose by 30 goals? And you know that your odds of competing meaningfully are probably very minimal. But to find it in yourself to still practice and still work and still try to get better and still be a team, like, I just think that's interesting to think about and not necessarily the most common sports narrative.
I wanted to touch on a little bit of controversy swirling around this film and the way that it tells the story of Jaya. There's a scene early in this movie in which Rangan is kind of dead naming her. Mm-hmm. They get into a, you know, kind of a fight on the pitch, and she shoves him and then apologizes to him. There's been some kind of talk around this film, like, maybe this film should have centered her instead of him. Having her apologize to him in that scene is a little squeamishness-inducing.
I mean, I definitely can see where that's coming from, particularly the question of centering him versus her. But I felt like the message of the movie was pretty clear that they have her apologize to him, as you might have to apologize anytime you shove your coach. And I would definitely agree that I might have left that out and structured that differently. But I think also at that point, he's too much of a jerk to start that kind of reconciliation, maybe.
Yeah. And I think this film makes him a little too much of a jerk in general.
Say more about that.
You know, obviously, like, this sort of underdog sports movie, the coach is always reluctant, and part of the hero's journey is always that the hero resists the journey.
This is your whole Bad News Ducks thing is...
Yeah, you got to have the coach who's like, this is my last stop, I quit, I give up.
And I don't care. That's part of it.
For one thing, there doesn't seem to be any evidence that Rangan himself held those views or treated the real Jaya this way in a movie that is otherwise so light and so enjoyable and so kind of knockabout uplifting. To me, it took me out of the joy of the movie a little bit. Mm-hmm.
They do talk about Fafafini in the context of American Samoa, that is unremarkable for someone to be trans or non-binary, right? I'm just wondering if they introduced that conflict sort of to underline that here, Jaya being this kind of singular athlete would have been something that nobody even like blinked an eye at, right?
I agree with that. I think they did want to make that point. I think it seems like making that point that she was so much part of her team without those guys acting like they thought it was weird or anything like that, when the expectation so often in American sports and perhaps sports in other countries as well, you know, that athletes are very apprehensive about gender identity and sexual identity and things like that. I think they did probably want to introduce the idea that her team was not. And so it may have been that they needed a way for him to kind of come in, as you say, with that janky lens and for him to be kind of corrected in that way. I also can understand what Steven's saying and that it might have been interesting to see this story as like the story of her and her,
for sure,
her entire playing career. It may be as simple as they based it on the documentary about Rangan coming to coach the team.
And she, when she is introduced, she's obviously like introduced as like major character, right? She has a whole like intro, right, scene.
She like gets a, like a slow-mo intro.
Yep.
It seemed like, oh, for a second, she's about to become the sort of thrust of the movie. And it, like you said, Steven, it would make a ton of sense for that to have been the case.
Yeah, she's more integral to this team than this carpetbagger shows up, throws a bunch of tantrums that completely do not help.
Right. It is kind of part of it for the coach in a story like this, for the coach to be like, I don't care, I'm a jerk. But I do think there's something about him that has like a very, that's what I mean when I say I feel like they never quite got that character exactly right. You can wonder why he's kind of sent to coach this team. And eventually they kind of say to him, well, you weren't really sent there to help them. You were sent there to help you. And I was like, well, that's kind of not a great thing to do to this team of guys. Like, we sent you this coach not expecting them to help you. Like,
he will never go to therapy. So you're going to be his therapy for the next 8 months of your life.
Yeah. Exactly. So he as a character was my biggest kind of bump with the movie, was his character was a little roughly made for me.
Mm-hmm. One thing I did like about his arc, and that I definitely appreciated as a sports fan, was there is a undercurrent in this movie of kind of establishing and wrapping its arms around the fact that coaches throwing tantrums, players throwing tantrums, this has been a part of sports for much longer than any of us have been alive, let alone been following sports. And I like the way this movie gets at the fact that that stuff just doesn't work.
Yeah.
That stuff doesn't make players play better.
And it doesn't make you a better coach.
It doesn't make you a better coach. And so I liked the fact that this movie does with him at least kind of toy with the idea that he becomes a better coach when he realizes that he needs to stop acting like that. When he throws tantrums, he looks ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. I did appreciate the fact, I think, that they really just go for it. You know, you mentioned, Steven, in the intro, the training montages. When you get to the training montage in this movie, the one where he's like, all right, we're going to get you in shape and start. They just lean directly into it. They play the music. You get the guys running. You get them doing the drills in the ladder.
The object is to get the ball in the net. Concentrate. Look where you're shooting it. What the hell? Don't look at me. Look at the ball.
You know, you get the, some of them are good at it and some of them, you get the moments where he sees a player and he's like, who's that? Like, they just lean right into it. There's no effort to sort of, this is not a subverting tropes situation. This is wrapping your arms around it, giving it a big hug, saying, nice trope, I love you.
I think we can agree that this is a fun one. Watch it with your folks on Thanksgiving. Yeah. This is that kind of movie. We want to know what you think about Next Goal Wins. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Gene Demby, Linda Holmes, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, bud.
Appreciate you.
We want to take a moment to thank our Pop Culture Happy Hour Plus subscribers. We appreciate you so much for showing your support of NPR. If you haven't signed up yet, want to show your support and listen to this show without any sponsor breaks, head over to plus.npr.org/happyhour or visit the link in our show notes. This episode was produced by Liz Metzger and edited by Mike Katziff. Our supervising producer is Jessica Reedy, and Hello Come In provides our theme music. Thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. I'm Stephen Thompson, and we will see you all tomorrow.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Vuori, a new perspective on performance apparel. Clothing designed with premium fabrics, built to move in, styled for life. For 20% off your first purchase, go to Vuori.com/NPR. This message comes from NPR sponsor Rosetta Stone, an expert in language learning for 30 years. Right now, NPR listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership to 25 different languages for 50% off. Learn more at rosettastone.com/NPR.
What does it mean to be Black in America? In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as Black experiences, you'll hear it means everything. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.